How to modernize your resume. That's next on Career Cloud Radio.
Hey, welcome back to another edition of the podcast. My name is Chris Russell, founder of CareerCloud.com. So this show is all about practical and tactical job search advice, and today we'll be talking with the authors of a new book, Modernize Your Resume, Get Noticed, Get Hired. I think it's a great topic to talk about as we start the job hunting season in 2016. So joining me via Skype are a couple of my old resume writer pals. We have master resume writers Wendy Enlow and Louise Kersmark on the line. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How's the resume business these days?
Booming.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. I got the book in front of me. Thanks a lot for sending me a copy. Louise, let me ask you first. What's the biggest mistake you see job seekers make today when it comes to writing your resume?
I think the biggest mistake is getting bound up in what they think they should do and focusing a lot on job duties and responsibilities, talking about what they did on the job. Instead, they should be focusing on their unique stories, their unique achievements, the things that are going to set them apart from every other candidate who has similar experience. Because without the specifics and the stories, the resume becomes extremely bland.
Right. Okay. How about you, Wendy?
I would have to say that most people forget or don't realize that you don't have to include every single thing that you have ever done in your life on a resume. It's not an autobiographical essay of your life. A resume is a career marketing document. And yes, you're going to include your education and your work experience, but you're going to include it in such a way as to position yourself for the opportunities that you're looking for in the future. And I think we're going to talk much more about that as we go through today's conversation.
Definitely. So it's the start of a new year. The resumes have kind of evolved, if you will, over the years into, like you said, a job search document. But there is this sort of underlying theme of having a modern resume, so from one that's outdated. So maybe you start with Louise. What's your definition of a modern resume out there?
Sure. Well, I think several things distinguish a modern resume from an outdated resume. First is appearance. An outdated resume does not have a fresh and modern look. That might be because it was based on an old MS Word template or because the style and the structure hark back to a couple of decades ago. For example, dates on the left and a big indent and then all the information on the right. Or it could be something as simple as the font. If it's written in 10-point Times New Roman, it's not going to appear modern. The second thing that I think distinguishes modern from outdated is the content. If it's very text-heavy and hard to read, it's going to appear old-fashioned, outdated, and really uninviting. And that's something we're definitely going to talk about later on in this program.
Okay. And Wendy, why have resumes changed so much in recent years? How would you describe that kind of transition they've taken?
I think a great deal of it obviously has to do with the fact that the internet and online job search has virtually revolutionized everything about job search, hiring, resume writing, how we communicate, how we reach out, how we network, and how people conduct their job search campaigns. We can't look at today, or we can't compare 10 years ago to what it is the job seekers are faced with today.
Yeah.
And that impacts greatly every component of the resume, the format, the content, the design. But it also is impacted largely by how people read. And that has changed remarkably. And in fact, I know Louise has a couple of things to share about how people read these days.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that, Louise. You know, obviously, resumes now are sent in electronic format most of the time. So how does that sort of translate into readability and things like that?
Well, the interesting thing, Chris, and as a real reader, I find this absolutely fascinating. The internet has changed the way that humans read. So we used to, in traditional reading, we'd sit down and start with any document, whether it's a resume or a book or a newspaper, and we'd start at the top and we'd read top to bottom, left to right until we were done. That was how we were taught to read, and that was the traditional way of reading. And of course, when we had lots of leisure time, and that's the way that all our material was presented, that's exactly how we read. But with the internet, that's not how we read. Instead, what we do is called power browsing, according to one author that I was looking
at. Power browsing?
Power browsing, exactly. So what we do is we kind of skim through a document, we pick up keywords, we glance from topic to topic and see what's going to catch our interest. We're looking to just get little bits of information rather than, you know, sitting down and perusing everything top to bottom. And the fascinating thing to me is that internet reading style has morphed over to every single thing that we read. So it's not like we're going to read one way online and then sit down with a book and read differently. No, we are many times going to read other documents and other materials in the same way, power browsing, looking for keywords, grabbing information quickly. So if your resume is not written to reflect this new, and it's really a fundamental change in how humans read, if your resume isn't written to appeal to that, you're going to lose a lot of readers before they ever get into your great content.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, let's talk about some of those design elements too. Now, Wendy, you have a technique in the book called writing for tight, lean, and clean. What do you mean by that?
Oh, tight, lean, and clean is one of our favorite things, and it refers to a lot of different, what I would call tactical resume writing issues.
Okay.
For example, ditch the detail. Suppose we're talking about someone in sales. Everybody in sales pretty much does the same thing on a day-to-day basis. So you don't need to spend paragraphs on your resume outlining your daily responsibilities. Instead, what you want to do is focus and highlight on the achievements so that your text is shorter. It's tighter, leaner, and cleaner. Your paragraphs are short. Louise and I recommend paragraphs 3 to 4 lines tops. If they're any longer than that, they're a big clump of text and quite easy to pass over.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a return. You have a 7-line paragraph, put in a return, and all of a sudden you have 2 easy-to-read paragraphs. Tight, lean, and clean. It's almost, for professional resume writers, a real challenge because everything we write, if I've got it on 1.5 lines, I want to get it down to 1. If it's on 3.25, I want to get it down to 3. Same thing's true about bullet points. You might think, wow, look at these 12 bullet points of achievements from my job. And yes, they might all be important, but when at a visual glance, it's just a laundry list of bullet points. Separate them, put in spaces, add subheadings, make things more reader-friendly. One of the things I always tell job seekers is that you want to tell the whole story, but in half the words.
That's a good point. So, Louise, the resumes in the book have a lot of design elements. How do you reconcile the need for having a visual pleasing design resume, which I think is important, just as important as the words that are on it, through with, you know, the ability to put that through an automated ATS system? Talk about some of that.
Yeah, that's a really great question because it is a bit of a dilemma. And as you mentioned, Chris, it is extremely important to have a resume that is visually appealing. We just talked a minute ago about how people read. We're looking for bits of information. We're getting our attention captured by different things. So we want our resumes to be visually appealing and with attention drawn to the right information. That's a really important part of the process because never forget that humans hire humans, and at some point in your job search, a human being is going to be looking at your actual resume either on screen or on paper. So we need to have that. However, as most of us know, certainly those job seekers who are actively looking know, you have to have a resume that it can be uploaded, entered into an applicant tracking system, and keyword scanned to come out on the other side, making you look like a great candidate. If you have too many design elements, if your resume is too creative, if your structure is unusual, the applicant tracking system is going to have a very hard time determining your capabilities to see whether you meet the qualifications for the job, and will probably not put you at the top of the list. You'll be kicked out based on, you know, a perceived lack of qualifications. So there's two ways that job seekers can handle this challenge. Number one is first to understand the structure and the restrictions of the applicant tracking system. They require that you present information in a chronological format with standard headings without a lot of graphics that are going to distract or confuse the reader. You can still create a nicely formatted resume following those guidelines. And that's one thing that people can do is understand the guidelines, make your resume follow those guidelines, make it be attractive at the same time. That's probably the easiest technique for people to choose because then they don't have to have the multiple versions. Mm-hmm. But for those who do want more of a designer resume, then you'll need to create a separate version that you use just for uploading. And it can be plain text. It can be a minimally formatted Word document. It doesn't have to be just ugly ASCII text like we used to have to do. But you want to have something that's going to be 100% readable by the machine. So either choose to compromise a little bit on design and have one version that works for both, or go crazy with design and have a second version that's plain and works for the systems. It's just a matter of your personal preference. The great news, though, is that the ATS are getting more sophisticated. They're getting better able to read content in different parts and understand how it all comes together. So as we go forward, I think that this will become even less of a problem than it is now, but it is something that we need to recognize and adjust for in our methods of looking for a job.
Yeah, the more modern ATSs are do a much better job of pulling in the original resume and keeping that formatting overall, I think. So, just to follow up on this kind of design element, Louise, how do you feel about things like color, logos, that kind of stuff on a resume itself?
I absolutely love them. I think that they add a lot of interest and distinctiveness to a resume. If you have a color, if you have a logo, if you have a graphic that illustrates something, if you have a chart, charts are probably my favorite because they are not just pretty, but they indicate performance. So that's a good thing. I think that they add, as I said, distinctiveness to your resume and attractiveness. And remember, going back to what we said earlier about how people read, when you look at a web page, you're not looking at solid text. You're seeing visuals, and your eyes are drawn to visuals very strongly. There have been studies that show that resumes with some kind of a visual on them are looked at, I think it's like 50% more time in that first glance than resumes without some kind of a visual. So it definitely pays to add color and visuals. Of course, you want to be tasteful. You want to be appropriate and professional. This mm-hmm. is a professional document. You don't want to go crazy. And I certainly wouldn't add graphics just to add graphics. But by all means, make your resume visually appealing.
Yeah. You know, one of the arguments I hear from job seekers sometimes is that if they're like in a very conservative industry like finance or accounting, they kind of scoff at the notion of creating like a very visual, creative resume like that. What do you say to those people?
I would say, think about who's actually looking at your resume, and they are going to be more attracted to one that is visually appealing. I don't care how conservative the industry is. Once again, you need to be appropriate. There's nothing wrong with using a border or some shading or an appropriate graphic on a resume. It can still be essentially conservative, professional, executive, and so forth. Mm-hmm. That does not mean it has to be boring.
All right.
Can I share, Chris, can I, real quickly, I want to go sure. back to something that Louise said about ATS, mm-hmm. because she referenced two what I consider to be critically important concepts. One of them was headings. You know, as we've gotten more creative, instead of calling something employment experience or professional experience, it might be your inclination to say something like notable career achievements. But you know what? ATS don't recognize those words. Mm-hmm. And if you put all of your experience under a heading like that, that entire section is going to be ignored and all of your work experience will be passed over. So it really is vitally important that you use standard headings for each of the sections on your resume.
So what would those standard headings be? Can you tell us those?
For the employment section, you can call it professional experience, work experience, employment history, education can be education or education and professional development. You can call your summary, a career profile, a summary of qualifications. But as I say that, quite often we don't label our summary section. Louise, what do you think about not labeling the subject section? Do you think there's ever the risk that it would be passed over?
If you don't label your summary section with a heading such as summary, then quite likely it will be passed over. However, all of the highlights that are included in a summary are most likely included elsewhere in that resume because you are summarizing and calling attention to key points that are generally restated further down. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that that's a critical flaw for ATS as long as you don't include something in the summary that appears nowhere else and is really important qualification.
Good point. The other thing I was going to talk about, Chris, that Louise had touched upon are keywords. Keywords are the backbone of applicant tracking systems.
Yep.
And if you do not have the correct keywords for your industry and profession, then your resume will never be seen because it won't pass through the ATS scan.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about keywords is that we often think of them as hard skills. If you're in manufacturing, keywords might be like production operations and supply chain management and logistics.
Mm-hmm.
That those are what we all think of as keywords, words that have to do with that industry and that job function. But keywords can also be college degrees, names of universities, cities, states, even zip codes. Let's say I'm doing a search. I'm looking to hire a chemical engineer that got his degree from MIT, and I'm only looking at people that live in Connecticut, Mass, and New Hampshire. So keywords really can expand beyond just the functional skills of a job to be allowing the employer to really hone in and find exactly the candidates they want.
Yeah, I guess keywords are really another part of the quote-unquote modern resume now. They weren't as important as they were, you know, 10 years ago, as they are today. So do you agree?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Sadly, a lot of job search and candidate selection has devolved to where it is so automated, it's all about the keywords.
Yeah.
And it's not until the person gets through the search that a real human being is actually going to look at their credentials. But we're probably not having a conversation about how job search has devolved as it's evolved.
Yeah. So in the book, you've got 18 principles for what a modern resume is in terms of content, format, design. Wendy, if you had to pick just one, what's your favorite of those?
Well, we really have talked about my favorite, which is that the design should match the industry and profession. In our new book, Modernize Your Resume, there's a resume sample for someone who does digital marketing. And that resume is super designed, with all kinds of live links to blogs and Twitter feeds. And it's just really sharp and totally matches the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next one that follows is a much more conservative resume for someone who's in, I believe, accounting or finance. The resume still looks sharp. It still follows all the good principles of solid, good page design. There's some lines and a nice font. So it has some design element, but it matches the industry of finance and doesn't look anywhere near what someone in online design and social media is going to do. Make it match your industry and profession.
Very good. Well, let's take a break, quick break here. Talk about JobMaster. If you're looking for a job right now and you own an iPad or an iPhone, you need to get this app, folks. So JobMaster, which is built by CareerCloud, lets you search and browse nearly 1,000 job boards across the world in one place. It lists job boards for every country, state, and industry available at your fingertips. So we just added several new niche and local sites, including a bunch of new sites for like Canada, actually, which has about 40 now in the database. So sites like workline.ca just came in. We just put in one for hospitality jobs in Quebec. So you can really discover a lot of sites out there that will help your job search. There's categories from everything from aviation to video games. And it also lists job sites for all 50 states. So the app's a free download. Access to the niche or local directories on it will cost you a one-time fee of 99 cents, pretty cheap. And a list of sites for various countries is free to access overall. So make your job search more efficient. Go to jobmasterapp.com to learn more. or you can find it in the iTunes store under JobMaster. All right, let's get back to the show. Next question. We've talked a lot about how resumes have changed. How have they not changed? Louise, why don't you tackle that one?
Sure. Well, the principle behind a resume has not changed. The resume has been always and still is designed to present your qualifications so that they're of interest to a potential employer. It's to introduce you in the job market. The wonderful thing about being a resume writer is that even though the form and format of the traditional resume might change and the different channels that we might present this resume information might change, but the fundamental issue has not changed, and that is the need for job seekers to tell their story in a way that's meaningful, relevant to the employer, and relevant to the job. So that storytelling, that ability to home in on what it is that's most important, that ability to express oneself in terms of a succinct story and an overview of qualifications has not changed, which is wonderful for us as writers because, of course, that's what we help our clients to do, is to tell the story in a succinct and memorable and powerful way. So whether you're writing a LinkedIn profile, whether you're interviewing, whether you're talking to a network contact, or whether you're writing a traditional resume, you still have the same need to decide what information is important to my audience, how am I going to tell them that information. And, yes, the way that we present it is changed, has changed, will change. That's the nature of life.
Yeah.
But that need, I don't think, will ever change because it is all about presenting one individual to another individual with relevance in employment and careers.
Yeah. So, Wendy, there's a lot of, you know, myths and perceptions about and rules about resume writing that are floating around there online. What do job seekers think about that? What should they believe?
Oh, that's such a tough question because with the internet, it has come this proliferation of information about resume writing, job search, interviewing, etc., that you can find probably millions of resources online. The question is, how does an individual job seeker determine what advice to follow, who are reputable people, because you certainly can't believe everything that you read, and that's become increasingly true with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the most important thing is that you have to find trusted sources. And who are those trusted sources? It's not some job seeker who's writing a blog about his job search experiences, but rather it's someone who's a certified professional resume writer who's been doing it for 10 or 15 years and might even work with clients that specialize in the same industry in which a job seeker works. You know, of course, I'll tell you our book and our other books are great resources. And there are many other, you know, well-qualified authors who have shared their expertise in resume books, interviewing books, etc. It is difficult, but I think that you have to look at the source of where the information is coming from.
Yeah. And Louise, it's hard to write a resume, right? I think the basic reason because of that is people just aren't great at writing. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, I do think that some people are not great at writing. We all have different talents in the world. But I think more fundamentally, the challenge in writing a resume is twofold. Number one is being objective about ourselves. I mean, obviously the nature of the term, we are the subject, so our opinion is subjective, right? We're writing about ourselves. It's more challenging to see ourselves from an outside perspective. So we don't necessarily know what's important, and then that leads to the next problem is you have so much information. How do you decide what's important? How do you consolidate everything onto that one or two pages that is still the traditional length for a resume? So I think that deciding what to include and then writing about it in a way that's powerful and effective are the two challenges. And my advice and suggestion on that would be, first of all, just start. Don't assume that this is a monumental task. At least get something down, because if nothing else, you're going to have the structure of your career. You're going to have your career dates and job titles and all the things that you're going to have to come up with, whether you write it yourself, whether you work with a professional writer or some other resource. So get the information down there and think about what was the most important thing that you would want to tell people about each of those jobs. What can you use in that example? Find an example that illustrates the skills that you want to use in your next job. Start with the good stuff, get it down on paper, and then decide, is this a real mess and do I need some help, or can I massage this into something that's workable? I've seen some very good resumes that individuals have written for themselves, and I've seen some truly horrible resumes that highly accomplished, intelligent, successful people have written. Mm-hmm. So it is not a skill that everyone has, but there is, obviously, there's help out there if you need it, resources and individuals who can help you. But start, put something down and get it on paper and see where you go from there.
Yeah. Wendy, in the book you talk about marrying your resume to your LinkedIn profile. Maybe just talk about that a bit for the listeners out there.
Okay. I think the most important thing to know is that your LinkedIn profile is not a copy of your resume just pasted in. Your resume is most likely going to be one or two pages long. And with LinkedIn, you have so much more space to work with that it really allows you to tell your story. I think as Louise mentioned before, a lot of resume writing is storytelling. In a resume, we do that very, very briefly. However, on LinkedIn, let's use the summary as an example, you have 2,000 characters to work with. And bear in mind the characters include letters, numbers, spaces, punctuation. But you have 2,000 to work with. So you can really tell your career story. You have 2,000 characters under each of your job descriptions. So you can go into much more detail and use a more narrative style of writing. Resume writing, we often refer to it as somewhat telegraphic. You know, you're eliminating non-essential words and you're starting with verbs and you're writing quick, quick, quick. Writing LinkedIn allows you really to tell more of the story. You still don't want to waste words and be long-winded, but you do, it does give you a platform to share your story in much greater detail. And perhaps one of the things that's most important in a LinkedIn profile is the headline. Headline, you have 120 characters to tell someone who you are. Because when someone sees your name on LinkedIn, they're going to see your headline. So you need to be sure that that headline positions you for the opportunities that you're pursuing and not necessarily reiterates who you were in the past.
Right. All right, ladies, let's wrap this up. Appreciate the advice today. Again, the book is Modernize Your Resume, Get Noticed, Get Hired. To sum it up, Louise, what's your last words of advice for listeners out there?
My last words of advice would be that we've talked a lot about what's changed, a little bit about what hasn't changed, and one of the key things that has not changed in job search is the ability of the power of referrals to get you your next opportunity. So we've talked about ATS, passing the scan, having the right keywords, having a resume that positions you. Yes, all that is very important. But think about how most people get jobs, and that is they get referred to somebody at a company. So work on that in your job search, and don't get too obsessed and fretful over matching keywords and uploading dozens of resumes hoping that you're going to reach the top, because you're going to get very frustrated with that approach and you're going to have probably limited success. So think about what really works. Think about who you know who can introduce you to somebody at a company that you're interested in, whether or not they are, quote, actively hiring at the moment. And work on that aspect of it, and you'll find your job search is much more pleasant and professional and conversational instead of sitting at your computer and zapping out resumes all day long. And don't think that that's what you absolutely must do, because it really is not all that effective in comparison to other methods.
All right. How about you, Wendy?
I would say my last word of advice is probably never to use the word resume template or the words resume template, because there is no template. Resume writing is a really customized process. And you might look in, you know, in our new book and say, wow, I really like the resume on page 62. Well, that's great. And maybe that resume format and structure will work for you based on you and your career and where you're headed. But maybe it won't. So use resume books wisely and online resume samples wisely to get a sense of what you like, but realize you can't take your life and make it fit into someone else's construct. That it is customizable to you, using your past experience, educational credentials, all of your qualifications to position you for where you're headed next.
All right. So that's a good note to wrap up on. Tell us where to get the book and tell us where to find you guys online.
The best place to find the book, Louise and I, you know us, Chris, we're always starting new companies. So we now have a new publishing company. It's called EmeraldCareerPublishing.com.
Okay.
And that's where you can find the book and you can read a little bit about each of us. If you want to know more, Louise and I each have our own websites for our, what we call private practice, for the resume and job search clients we work with individually. And it's pretty easy. My website is WendyEnelow.com. And Louise's website is LouiseKersmark.com.
By the way, ladies, I have one more question for you. Is how many resumes do you guys write in a year each?
Well, not so many now. Yeah. We both of us work primarily with senior executives, and we take a longer, more in-depth process. We're not, you know, doing multiple resumes in a day. I probably write 1 to 2 per week, so 50 to 100 a year would mm-hmm. be tops for me. I do a lot of edits and updates of existing clients because having been around forever, I have people returning, you know, back to me, but not a whole lot in terms of writing. Now, we do look at hundreds, maybe thousands more resumes when we're writing a book, when we're working with potential clients, when we're doing a conference presentation or something. We have a lot of access to other resumes. Mm-hmm. But in terms of writing, I would say 50 to 100 a year would be a pretty full schedule for me.
How about you, Wendy? Same thing?
Probably the same thing now that we do other things, writing books and training, et cetera. But, you know, if we went back 10 years when Louise and I were much more focused on, you know, resume writing for clients day in and day out, I would venture to guess that we probably wrote individually 500 to 700 at least a year.
Wow.
Incredible. Oh, I love resume writing. So does Louise. It is such an empowering thing, Chris. You meet a client. It doesn't matter if they're a graduating student or a CEO. You meet with them, you know, virtually, you know, interview them and create a resume for them, and they feel so empowered and ready to take on their job search. We always say there is no better job or no more fulfilling job in the world than being a resume writer, because every day of your life, your clients tell you how much they value you, and how much more successful they feel about themselves personally and professionally, and how much more effective their job search is.
That's great.
It's a great gig.
Yep. And I think the job market is better off because of both of you. So thank you very much for your advice today. Good luck with the book, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Career Cloud Podcast. Find us online at careercloud.com, iTunes, or Stitcher. Don't forget to check out our new job section at careercloud.com/jobs if you're in the market. I'm Chris Russell. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Russell. And please consider giving the show a review in iTunes if you like the content. The best way to show your support is through a review or by telling your friends and family about us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Career Cloud Radio. All right, that's a wrap.
All right, that was fun. Thank you, Chris.
That was a good one. Looks like about 38 minutes, so probably...